As we do begin the message this morning, I do invite you to please turn with me to the Gospel of John in the New Testament. The Gospel of John, our starting scripture, which I often call our focus passage, will be from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, as we are entering the Christmas season, you might have expected me to preach from a passage which talked about the Christmas story. But did you know the Gospel of John does in fact make reference to Jesus coming to earth in human flesh, particularly in verse 14 of John chapter 1. So this is indeed a passage that speaks of Jesus Christ, our Savior, coming to earth. And as we read from John chapter 1, if you're able to do so, let's stand together. That's always optional, but let's stand together if you're able in reverence to the word of our Lord as we partake of it, reading from John's Gospel, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, reading through verse 14. And the Word of God says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him." But now listen to verse 12. "But as many as received him, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And here's our key verse this morning, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word this morning. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I can remember a few years ago that one of my friends, okay, it was a Facebook post, but one of my friends said on Facebook that their favorite Christmas verse in the Bible was John 1:14. And that's the last verse that we just read in our passage just a moment ago, John 1:14. It's our key verse this morning. Let me read that verse once again. I'll just tell you, it's not going to be the last time I'm going to read this verse this morning. But it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, what I found interesting about one of my friends saying that was his favorite Christmas verse in the Bible is that it's not a verse that we typically think of as part of the traditional Christmas story in the Bible. And yet, it very clearly is a verse that speaks of Jesus coming to earth in the form of human flesh, and thus we can very well consider it to be a part of the Christmas story. And the Christmas message is a beautiful story of God's love. Christmas is about God expressing His love toward us with the greatest gift of all time. Now, these next words did not originate with me, but I have heard it said, "The greatest Christmas gift ever was not placed under a tree." It says He was placed on a tree, and His name is Jesus. And that is the story that we are going to talk about this morning. But as I mentioned a moment ago, this passage in John is not one that people typically think of as being part of the Christmas story. But I think as we dig deeper into it, we will see that it certainly is. Let's go back to our passage and just step through some of these verses from John chapter 1. Going back to John 1, verse 1, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then it says, "He was in the beginning with God." And that phrase, the Word, as it is used here in John chapter 1, well, what does that refer to? Or more specifically, who does that refer to? That term, as we see it used here in John chapter 1, where it says the Word, that refers to Jesus Christ. And we know that because it is verified in verse 14. Listen to John 1:14 once again. It says, "And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us." And then it says, "We beheld His glory," the glory as of who, did it say? "As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And by those words, "the only begotten of the Father," that leaves no doubt that this is a reference to Jesus Christ. In fact, that phrase, "the only begotten of the Father," that echoes very familiar words that we see in chapter 3 of this same gospel. You probably know the verse I'm talking about, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And that word "begotten" means that He was born of Him. And we see that word not only in John 3:16, but we see that word "begotten" also here in John chapter 1 in verse 14. In fact, some of the scripture translations, they actually use the word "son" in that verse, saying John 1:14 like this, "We have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father." If I'm remembering correctly, because I'm going to tell you, I looked that verse up in multiple translations, but I think the English Standard Version that we have here in our chairs, and that a lot of you like to use, the ESV, I think that's how it worded it. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. But what that means is, it refers specifically to the Word as being the only Son of the Father. And let's also notice in this passage, in John chapter 1, just sounds funny, Tim, to say that word, Word. But that word, Word, is spelled with a capital W in the formal sense. Did you notice that? In both verse 1 and also in verse 14, that W is capitalized. And that is because it represents Jesus Christ. So the question often here asked is, well then why? Why does John refer to Jesus as the Word? And I'm going to tell you, there have been entire chapters of books dedicated to that subject, possibly even entire books. And I certainly cannot explain it as eloquently or as intelligently as some of those writers can. But just to give a basic overview, the original word in the Greek New Testament, the original word here for Word was logos, L-O-G-O-S. Now, some of you may have heard that word before, and you may already be familiar with that word, logos, L-O-G-O-S. My good friend, Pastor Bruce Betts, pastors the Logos Missionary Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You remember Bruce Betts? Oh, that brother can preach. I'm going to tell you what, he can preach. But his church is called Logos. When he came and preached for us one Sunday at Ball Ground, he was telling us how it means the Word of God. But that word logos, as it was used in the Greek New Testament, is a word that was common, and I had to look this up and figure this out, but it was a common word both in Greek writings as well as Jewish speech. In other words, it was commonly understood by the people. And what it meant was revelation. It meant a revelation, something that brought enlightenment. Now again, that's not something I just automatically know. I have to look these things up. I don't stand up here and claim to be highly educated. I'm not. nor do I pretend to know a lot of fancy Greek words. I don't. But I did look this up, and again, in the original Greek, that term used for the word, as we see it here in John chapter 1, it meant a revelation, something that brought enlightenment. So John is saying that God chose Jesus as his messenger to tell us about God himself. And Jesus was not only God as part of the Trinity, but also he was a revealer of God the Father. In the Old Testament, that term, the word, it carries the idea of active power. Let me give you a scriptural example of that. It's like when God spoke the world into being. You see, when he spoke, that term, the word, is there in the original translations to convey power, that God spoke the universe into being. But now the Apostle John presents Jesus Christ as the eternal Word who took on flesh and blood so that we could behold God's glory. And John is, in a sense, he's pointing us back to the Old Testament where the Logos, or the Word of God, is associated with the personification of God's revelation. Or, that sounded too fancy, just to put that another way, Jesus fully conveys and communicates God. And I hope I'm not dragging this point out. I'm actually about to move on from it. But I've always been interested in how John refers to Jesus here in the book of John as the Word. But I've also heard it explained this way. This is another thing, as I was doing research on this, I've heard it explained like this. As the early New Testament church began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message very quickly spread beyond the Hebrews. Now, we know that Christianity had its earliest roots among the Jewish people, as they were God's chosen nation, and Jesus Christ himself was God's Messiah, being an earthly descendant from the lineage of King David. Now, that was easy for Jewish people to understand. But as we know, Jesus came to bring salvation to any and all who are willing to receive it. Tim, it's interesting. We were talking about that very concept prior to church this morning, how Jesus came to bring salvation to any and all who were willing to receive it. And Jesus then gave his disciples the commission to take that message to the uttermost parts of the earth. So what happened is, soon as the disciples started sharing with others about Jesus, very quickly that message of hope began to spread beyond the Jews unto the Gentiles. Gentiles meaning those who were not of Hebrew ethnic origin. But one challenge they found in presenting Jesus Christ as Savior is that in the Greek culture, there's no word or concept associated with the Hebrew term Messiah. You see, the Jews understood that word and clung to it for centuries, the word Messiah. But in the Greek culture, they weren't anticipating a Messiah, and they didn't really understand that concept. So God gave the Apostle John the inspiration to pen the words of his gospel, which presented Jesus Christ, and God impressed upon John to use that term, logos. Because you see, the Greeks were philosophers. They were deep thinkers. And it went against their nature to just abandon logic and reason and just to accept a Jewish way of thinking. But that term, logos, which again translates into our English language as word or the word, in the Greek language, logos meant two things. It meant word and it meant reason. So I just think that's kind of neat. Now, that didn't originate with me. I read that in a commentary. But as the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God in his writing, he chose the word logos, and that is something that both the Jew and the Gentile could relate to and could understand. The logos, or the word of God, meant the very thoughts and the very actions of God. And Jesus was God personified in human flesh. And that is what we see explained here in verse 14 of John chapter 1, which again is our key verse for today. And I mentioned earlier that I do consider this a Christmas message. And it is. I mean, what is Christmas? It is when Jesus was born as a baby. Or we could say, when the Word became flesh. Now, we read that earlier from the New King James Version, which said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." I've seen other scripture translations which said it like this: "The Word was made flesh and took up residence among us." That is exciting. Christmas is exciting. But this morning, I want us to look beyond the manger and behold our Messiah. In fact, that word "behold" is also in John 1:14. John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." And John goes on to explain that as, "We beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father," he says, "full of grace and truth." And see, that is part of the Christmas miracle. It's a wondrous thing that God Himself chose to take on human flesh and walk this earth, living among mankind and becoming one of them. He made Himself like us so we could one day be like Him. And what I mean is that Jesus Christ came into this world first born as a baby and then growing to be a man to eventually take our place upon the cross, bearing the punishment for our sins. And through Jesus, we are made clean again. Through Him, we can appear as spotless and blameless before God. And that is what I mean when I say He made Himself like us so we could one day be like Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. And in our focus passage of John 1:14, we read that His glory shone with grace and with truth. And that grace was evident even at the stable in Bethlehem. Do you remember how the angels proclaimed that message to the shepherds? The angels came proclaiming a message of hope and a message of salvation. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And I'd love to spend a lot more time on that, but next Sunday morning, we're going to talk a lot more about how the angels proclaimed that message. That's next Sunday's sermon. But the angel went on to say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." In other words, I'll say these words again, the Word became flesh. And what that meant is that God now became visible and tangible. He could be seen and touched by mankind. And it means that God came to dwell among His people. Jesus Christ was the perfect expression of God in human form. But let's think about this even deeper. Earlier, in this first chapter of John, we read, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God." Now, we read that from verses 1 and 2, but then continuing on in John chapter 1 in verse 3, and this is still speaking of the Word, it says, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made." Now, interestingly enough, the Word is talking about Jesus. And it says all things were made through Him. Somebody that just has a basic understanding might say, "Well, I thought God created the heavens and the earth." Do you remember what God said when He created mankind? Did He say, "Let me make man in my image"? No, He did not. He said, "Let us make man in our image." It's in Genesis. Go back and look it up. But let's consider how truly remarkable this is. I mean, we read that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. And then in verse 14, as we read, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us," think about the significance. The Creator became a part of His creation. And not just to make a grand entrance. No, in fact, His entrance was anything but spectacular. He came in the most humble of circumstances, born in a smelly stable, or surrounded by dirty animals, and then placed in a manger to sleep. The Word became flesh and was placed in a feeding trough of hay. It'll almost blow your mind if you stop and dwell on it for a while. The Word became flesh, and what else does verse 14 say? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus didn't just stop by for a quick visit. No, He made His home here among mankind for 33 years. And to state the obvious, He did not start His earthly life by coming as a grown adult. No, we know that. Jesus, the Word, became flesh by being born as a baby. Born as a baby and then growing as a child and then into a man. Later increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, as we read in the Bible in Luke 2:52. You see, when the Word became flesh, Jesus became a part of mankind, not just to be seen, not just to make a spectacle of Himself, but to serve and to seek and to save those who were lost. That's why our focus verse, in that verse of John 1:14, the Apostle John speaks not only of beholding the glory of Jesus Christ as the Word of God, but John, in this same verse, he speaks of Jesus, the living Word, being full of grace and truth. It is no coincidence that that word grace appears in the same verse that talks about the Word becoming flesh. Listen to it. Yes, again, I told you I'd read this verse a lot this morning. But listen to it again. This is our primary verse. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love that part. Full of grace, full of truth. The Christmas story is one of grace and truth because it is by God's grace that the gift of Jesus Christ was offered unto us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." It says, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of your own works, lest anyone should boast. You see, it is because of God's grace that Christmas became a reality. And it is because of God's love that Jesus came into this world. The Word became flesh because God loved us so much that He was willing to sacrifice on our behalf so that we might be forgiven from sin and so that we could receive the promise of eternal life. And to do so, Jesus came to this earth, was born as a baby, but was destined for the cross of Calvary. We don't like to think about that part in relation to the Christmas story, at least. We picture that precious baby Jesus, that sweet, innocent child lying in the manger. But that same precious child would grow up one day to be nailed to a cross on our behalf. That's not pleasant for us to think about, but it is a reality. It is truth. And that's another word we find in John 1:14. Truth. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I find it interesting that Jesus is called the Word, and He says, I think it's John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Just as later in the same Gospel of John, we hear these words of Jesus Christ in John 14, verse 6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is a manifestation of God's grace. And to put that in more simple terms, a manifestation means evidence of. It means a clear demonstration. And that is accurate in regard to Jesus Christ. He is a clear demonstration of God's love. Romans 5:8 tells us that God proved, some translations say God demonstrated his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was a demonstration of God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. Jesus was God's gift unto us, and we can smile as we say, that is why we celebrate Christmas. But some people may not think of Jesus as being a gift, but that's the word the Bible uses. Let me read Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I bet most of you know this verse. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And on the night that Jesus was born, the angel spoke of peace and goodwill towards mankind. Goodwill means benevolence. It means generosity. In other words, a gift. God's gift of salvation. And as we do wind down this morning, as we wind down today, I want to ask each of you, have you received that gift? You know, I read a moment ago from Romans 6:23, which says, the wages of sin is death. But I want you to know that means not just a physical death. It means eternal condemnation for your souls. And that is what we would all be destined for were it not for Jesus. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus not only came to this earth, but he fulfilled the commission of God the Father by dying on the cross to pay for our sins. You see, the rest of Romans 6:23 says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is the gift that God is offering unto each of you. Most of you have received that gift already. I hope and pray that all of you have received that gift. But our focus scripture this morning was John chapter 1, particularly verse 14. But listen, another key verse in that chapter that we did read earlier, but we didn't really focus on or dwell on, is verse 12. Let me read this one more time. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name. And I hope that is you. I hope that's you here today. I hope that you have believed in him, and I hope that you have received him. I want to remind you that the Christmas story is more than just the stable in the manger. It's more than just about shepherds and wise men. The Christmas story is about God loving us enough that the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ took on human flesh, being born as a baby, but still destined for that old rugged cross. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. And my friends, that is what Christmas is really all about. The very name of Emmanuel, given to Jesus, as spoken in the Bible in Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel means God with us. And he came to dwell with us so that we could one day dwell with him. Jesus came to dwell on this earth so that he would one day go to the cross. And listen, by doing so, Jesus satisfied the requirement to secure our redemption. His death on the cross meant that our sin debt has been reconciled. And that means that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you secure for your soul an eternal home in heaven with him. And I'll say it again, he came to dwell with us so that we could one day dwell with him. And that is referring to eternal life in heaven once this physical life on earth is past. And that is God's gift offering unto you if you will but receive it. And it is a phenomenal, indescribable gift that I hope and pray all of you will receive. If you've never done so, I urge you to call out to God in prayer right now, here in this moment. If you'll just tell God that you know you're a sinner and that you want him to save you, If you would just believe that Jesus is the Holy Son of God and acknowledge that He went to the cross on your behalf and tell the Lord in prayer, just tell Him that you want to repent of your sins and that you want to receive His salvation. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and life to be your Lord and then confess Him unto others. That means tell people what Jesus has done for you. Tell them He's now your Savior and Lord and invite them to come unto Jesus as well. I know I said a lot of that fairly fast. Most of you already understand it, but I want you to know you certainly don't have to understand everything to decide to follow Jesus if you just come before Him in faith. You don't have to understand it all. Just know that God loves you and He wants reconciliation with you. And that is why God sent Jesus to come and dwell among mankind. And Jesus loved you enough to go to the cross. You know, while here on this earth, Jesus said that it was His desire to seek and save those who were lost. And even now, it is still the desire of Jesus Christ for you to be saved. We are just about to close. We're just about done. But won't you please reach out to Him in prayer right now? If you will just call out to Him, and if your heart is sincere, He will receive you with open arms. We're going to have our time of invitation here in just a moment. And I'd be happy to pray with anyone who needs guidance in that decision. But I do urge you to call that unto the Lord. Again, don't let this moment pass if you have never received God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? Our God and our Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to gather here in Your house, to read of Your Word and, Lord, to learn of Your Word, and to lift up and exalt our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful that the Word became flesh, that Jesus Christ took on human flesh and came to this earth. Lord, we love to celebrate Christmas. Lord, one of my favorite times of the year, and I love the Christmas story. I love the Christmas songs. I love the Christmas season. But Father, help us to remember it's not just about the birth, but the birth was the beginning of Jesus' earthly life, which would be completed when He went to the cross and took on our sins and then rose from the grave. Father, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for His crucifixion, and I thank You for His resurrection, and I thank You for my salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, like everyone else here, Lord, I would be hopelessly lost were it not for Jesus Christ. And I thank You that He loved me enough to die for me. And Lord, I believe had I been the only sinner, that Jesus would have still gone to the cross. I believe that's true for each and every one of us. If we'd been the only sinner, Jesus would have gone to the cross. But He did it for all of us, Lord, as we are all sinners in need of redemption. I pray that everyone in this room today has already experienced that redemption. If not, Lord, I just pray that You would draw at their heart today. Father, that their eyes would be open for their need of a Savior, and that they would respond to You this morning. Father, anyone listening online, Father, anyone maybe going back later and listening to this message, Lord, may they know that Your grace extends unto them if they will just call out to You to receive Jesus Christ. Father, bless this time now as we have our time of invitation, and may Your Holy Spirit move among hearts and lives here in this time. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.